Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zach building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com. Very excited to welcome Dynamic Screen Printing to the show. These guys have been just crushing it lately. They've been making shirts for all your favorites around town, including the brand new Rock Paper Podcast shirt. So I'm a proud customer. These guys have become great friends of mine, and I'm super happy that they're a part of this show now. This is very exciting stuff. So check out Dynamic Screen Printing on Facebook. Feel free to email them any of your ideas at dynamicscreenprintingstl@gmail.com. And if you mention the show, 10% off your first order. So that's very exciting, very cool stuff. And get involved. Like I said, they're doing really great stuff. If you thinking about making some shirts for your band or next event or whatever it might be, whatever you need screen printed, feel free to reach out to Dynamic Screen Printing. This episode of Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Gigabit Rocks. Check it all out at gigabitrocks.com. They're one of the best online tools for meeting artists regionally and nationwide, and they want to help you plan your next tour. It's essentially a great tool for networking and linking up with artists all over the country, and then they can help you pack your next show in their city. So reach out on gigabitrocks.com. Check them all out on your social media, your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And whether you want a gigabit more or a gigabit less, one thing's for sure, Gigabit Rocks.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Oh yeah, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Check it out at rockpaperpodcast.com. Yeah, dig it!
My name is Joshua Aker, and you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
The type of man that lets things get out of hand. He's the type that loves to fight and knocking out your lights. And he said Charlie is a bad man. Now it's clear Charlie sees it's the only life he was meant to live. Cheer up, Charlie.
Shit that you've done!
dirty deeds and promise that he'll give you peace. Charlie has a silver tongue. Now it's clear Charlie sees it's the only life he was meant to live. Oh yeah, cheer up, Charlie. Cheer up, Charlie, yeah. Cheer up, cause one day judgment will come.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Josh from Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals. Hey man.
Hello Shane.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, it's good to be back.
Yeah, this is very exciting, man. This is kind of cool because like, I kind of joked about it when we kind of set it up, but like... Danny's been on solo talking about that rat stuff, and I just recently had Sean on to have his solo, and so I'm trying to complete the collection. So
gotta catch them all.
Yeah. So and Gibbons also has been on with talking about production stuff. So can't forget old Gibby. So
the last piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's cool now to get to hang out and get to. A little more about what your a little more your stories and stuff and yeah man, so yeah, I'm excited to hang out. This is cool.
This is very exciting. Yeah. Thank you for having me, and you know, it's dreams come true.
All right, yeah. But this is so we've talked a lot about the band in the past, you know, a couple you guys have done a few different episodes talking about some of the different records that you guys put out and different things. But you guys do have a brand new record that came out not too long ago, Murder City Special, available now. So if you haven't got a hold of that one, definitely head out to pick that up today.
Or enjoy it from the comfort of your own home on Spotify or iTunes.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of that's crazy, man. The fact that you can just pull up whatever right there in your pocket.
And, yep.
So it's nice, but... I still like having the record, having the tangible product and stuff. So
when you struggle to pick the plastic off, you know, for the first time, and all you want to do is just put it and listen to it, and go, come on, get off there.
When you guys always like have some fun stuff too, like some crazy pictures and all that stuff. So it's always it's always worth having the actual product instead of just streaming on Spotify. So.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what you guys recorded that also at Gaslight?
At the Gaslight Studios with Mr. Zach Gibbons.
Yeah. That was the big 5 record release party a while back, and
it was an experiment that went beautifully right. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a cool night, man. And that is something rare to see, you know, kind of that community. I think it speaks volumes to our community, the fact that
without a doubt
that people want to be a part of all that kind of thing, a party like that.
You know, it was crazy to watch all our friends that are just as poor as us, you know, buying all the records at $10 a pop, you know, and it's like, man, I know that you don't have $50 to spend, but you're doing it anyway by and supporting all of this, and like personal sacrifices I know were made.
Right.
You know, and so I'm just so grateful for that in particular. And
definitely, yeah. Man. Yeah, so Cara Louise and Miss Molly Sims and Fourth City. Fourth City.
And the Fame Machine.
Yeah. So that was it was a good night and a lot of great music, and so yeah, again, check them all out. They're all great records, all recorded at Gaslight, and so I think that's like I said, I think it's cool what they're doing up there, the kind of this collective kind of thing. Like, and I think there's a new wave of albums getting ready to come out soon.
There's a lot of good things in the works up there.
Damn, yeah.
Yeah.
You were telling me before we got rolling, you kind of about your morning. You're having kind of an eventful day already.
Yeah. It's been a very eventful weekend.
Yeah.
For the good, it's been very enlightening, and I've had a kind of shift of consciousness a little bit. You know, I don't know if it's temporary or permanent, but right now I'm very much enjoying and disturbed by it.
Yeah.
You know, I had a M16 in my back on Friday night. Had pepper balls and rubber bullets and tear gas launched at me, and you know, it really made me think about things, you know. And so that's why waking up that next morning and realizing just how alive, you know, that I am made me definitely more self-aware and less in my head about minuscule things, you know, kind of opened up that broad picture. And we were out there with a lot of friends, and you know, to see your friends in harm's way as well was made me very appreciative for a lot of things.
Man, some wild stuff going on. Kevin wrote in, opened up to fan questions, and Kevin wrote in if you would write any protest songs. And I was wondering if, like, something like that, I mean, this is a pretty powerful thing, and the fact that you are a writer, like, I was wondering how this might inspire.
I started on one yesterday.
Yeah.
I haven't written any of the music yet, but I've gotten started on the words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
I'm looking forward to it.
Sure. My friend's Apollo's daughter, and at first I didn't quite put it all together because just kind of, I didn't even really think about it, but like they have a song called Kurt Russell's Muscles, and in there's a line that's like, I can't breathe is in the chorus, and it was borrowed from the Michael Brown stuff. Mm-hmm. That was like a quote that, you know, that's what he said when all that went down and everything, and so before he was killed, and it was so. They end up kind of using that in the chorus of the song, and it's about, and the rest of the lyrics fall into that, but kind of gets lost in, because it's, you know, it's a rock kind of pop song kind of thing, but to see people kind of influenced by what's happening in their community and on the news and stuff, and actually be able to apply that to their music too, I thought it was really neat. But I mean, unfortunately, that's the case. But like, the fact that we're able to take it and make it a positive, at least make it a song, and make it maybe infects, you know, get that word out there and have an impact on somebody else to think about something else too.
And you know, they always say dysfunction breeds creativity as well. And yeah, when your back's against the wall, it's kind of gets your mind rolling. And I went out there, you know, at first just because I don't like to see people in pain, you know, and I care about the city and the town, and you know, I went out there for just community support, and then it all changed, you know. It became something a lot more,
right.
You know, it came about empowerment and giving a voice to the voiceless, and it's been a really good thing, and I'm really hoping that it carries on and something is done.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. We just
need to love each other, and
for sure, man.
Yeah,
yeah. I haven't been a part of any of the events down the protests or anything, but I've been following along with a lot of my friends online and seeing some of the stuff, and like, you know, just it's crazy, man. It's just it's a madhouse down there right now.
Yeah,
there's a lot of wild stuff going on, but hopefully
we've avoided the last Saturday and Sunday night of the, you know, really gnarly stuff, because the first night on Friday the police moved in before the peaceful organizers called it. You know, on Saturday and Sunday we left whenever the peaceful organizers said, okay, our portion of this is over. Whatever happens after this, that's something totally different, you know. And no bullshit was the phrase, you know.
Yeah.
We all leave as a family, and so we left on Saturday and Sunday, and very luckily avoided all the other danger and mayhem and things that went on. But Friday night, yeah, the police moved in before it was officially over. So yeah, we just got caught in over off Westgate, and one of the scariest things I've ever seen or been a part of.
Yeah. Well, I saw like stuff too, like that they like tore up all this stuff in like Delmar Loop and like, mm-hmm. and I was like, man, that, you know, of all neighborhoods, really, like that's one of like the most inclusive neighborhoods. Like, you know, they there's, you know, so many different communities represented down there and stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's like,
oh yeah,
I don't know why they would take it out on the Loop, but
anger. Yeah. You know, yeah. You know, misguided anger.
Right.
Yeah.
But
from what I understand, that it was a lot of teenagers, you know, right. mostly just, you know, they don't know how to express it any other way.
Right.
You know, besides just, you know, we were there to stir shit up, not fuck shit up.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a you know, there's a way to do it, and like I don't know that breaking everything is the way. That's like,
it's definitely not.
Right, so
it is definitely not. You know, no physical damage should be done. No physical damage or harm to property or people.
Right.
But you get the bad apples, just, you know, like you would on the other side as well. Yeah. You know, when I had a very good talk with a friend of mine, and he goes, you know, he's an African American fella, and he goes, you know, I would love to hate all cops, but he's also a very compassionate and understanding person. And he goes, I know that each one of them are people with different amounts of feeling, like different feelings. And that was one of the things whenever, you know, we marched, like we saw all the cops marching towards us in riot gear, it's like being in a crowded room where everybody's pissed at you, you know, but you have a weapon. So if you feel threatened, you might use it, you know. Yeah. And that was a very scary thing of just the unpredictability of one person, you know, out of hundreds, you know, that could just completely turn everything. And that's what had happened.
Right.
You know, the actions one really, really affected a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I got a buddy, Kenny, that was down there documenting a lot of it, just mm-hmm. He's a photographer and stuff, and was just and that's all he was trying to do, was just capture as much of it as he could. And like, and I think he ended up getting arrested at some point over the weekend, and detained for a little while or something like that. But
yeah,
I don't know, it was, but all he was trying to do was just take pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
I don't know, but I don't think he charge or anything. I think it was just a procedure thing or whatever, but I don't know.
Just a slight detainment.
Yep. You know, right.
Pulling somebody off the street.
Right. Yeah, I think he was with like the news crew too, and they all got detained for a while or something. So I don't know. Weird stuff. Crazy, man. But
so to answer Kevin's question, yes, yeah. there will be a protest sign coming out of this.
I would like to. I'm excited to hear that, man. I'm excited to see what this does. I mean, because like all that stuff, like even like you know, going back several, you know, like Rage Against the Machine and everything else, like all these a lot of these bands, all this, like, you know, songs, these, a lot of political messages in their songs and stuff, and like, you know, there's a lot of some of my favorite stuff, just these, it was all inspired by them, you know, trying to stand up too.
Right. And one of my favorite people ever, Mr. Bob Dylan.
Yeah, oh yeah, right, yeah, even going way back. Yeah,
yeah.
So, yeah, there's a guy, you know, I talk about him a lot on the show. He's one of my favorite writers, but he's also kind of tapped into that Bob Dylan thing. Kind of a takeoff of Bob Dylan's. Excuse me. So Bob Dylan was Times Are Changing.
Mm-hmm.
Will Hogue wrote a song called The Times Are Not Changing. And or something, so like it's to that effect that, you know, we're right back where we were, kind of thing. So
I actually have a theory that we're in some sort of weird time warp.
Yeah,
it's happening right now, you know, that we're reliving the 60s. There's the civil rights revolution going on, you know, we want to impeach our president and get him out. Mm-hmm. And we're Star Wars is back in theaters.
Yeah, sure.
You know, ladies aren't wearing bras
right.
anymore, and bell bottoms, and you know, rock and roll is back in a big way. And there's the drug revolution and the sexual revolution, and
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of really strange coincidences going on, you know.
Yeah.
We're just reliving it.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of a...
I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could, the rock and roll's a good thing, I think, but...
Yes, most definitely.
But yeah, no, it's weird, man. Crazy stuff.
Crazy stuff.
I wanted to talk also just about some of your stuff. I mean, you know, like I said, kind of talking to Sean, kind of getting to focus on more of his story. That was a lot of fun for me, and I kind of wanted to do the same with you. Like, kind of get to more into, you know, how you even got here, you know, how we got to. Mm-hmm. So, I know, you grew up in the area too, right?
I grew up in DeSoto, Missouri.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out in the, out more towards Valley Mines, like down Highway 67,
yeah.
You know, middle of nowhere. My closest neighbor was a couple football fields away, you know, length.
Right.
Yeah.
And then how did you get to this way?
I turned 18 and moved out of my mom's house and just been rambling ever since.
Yeah.
It's been a long journey to where I am right now, but
yeah,
lived in a couple different states and seen some things and done some things and
right.
Yeah, but I've been living over here in the Shaw neighborhood now since the beginning of 2013. And I've lived in a couple different places, but I just love this area.
Yeah,
this is the most at home I've felt probably ever.
Right.
You know,
you start playing pretty young, or playing guitar and stuff. Or
well, my dad had a guitar in his closet for the entirety of my life. Like him and my mom were both left-handed. But when my dad was a kid, he wanted to learn to play guitar, but since he was left-handed, nobody wanted to teach him, so he just kept this old guitar for years, but I would sit and, you know, in the closet while my mom was folding laundry, you know, and just pick at the strings and make noise and
right.
whatnot. And but after he passed away, I got it out of the closet and tried to pick around on it, but I realized I wasn't going to be a good guitar player, so I decided to play bass instead. And
yeah.
Yeah, but I was 14 when I started, 15, somewhere around there.
Yeah. What was Hendrix, right? Played left-handed, but had mm-hmm. right-handed guitar played upside down or something? Right?
I read this book that Sean gave me about Hendrix, and it's called A Room Full of Broken Mirrors. And, like, his dad was pretty abusive, whatnot, but that was like why he learned to play upside down with a regular strung guitar, is because his dad only wanted him to play right-handed, and whenever he would catch him playing left-handed, he'd, you know, smack the crap out of him. And so he would play left-handed while his dad was out of the room, and if his dad walked in, he'd turn around and play it the other way. So right. Yeah,
crazy.
He's a crazy man.
Yeah, worked out for him though. I think he did all right.
I think he did okay.
Yeah,
he's inspired a lot of us. So
yeah, man. That, you know, that's one of the weirdest things, man, like, to think about, like, how much he did by 28 and stuff, all the whole bunch of them, like, they're all in that group of
yeah
28 Club or whatever they call
27.
It. 27. Or
27,
you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, to think about how much he accomplished by then, and I'm like, and I look at my own life, and I'm like, I'm 32, and like, you know. But
look how that ended for a lot of them.
Well, yeah,
as well,
sure,
like, you know, right. It's like you're given that much power and
right.
fame and money and drugs at that age. Yeah,
right.
It's gonna something's gonna happen.
Sure, you know? Yeah. But I mean, like, that's a wild thing to think about. The fact that, like, in that amount of time, he affected millions of people.
And still, generations.
Right.
You know,
that's pretty crazy stuff, man. So
yeah.
But, yeah, you're like saying, all that comes with a cost.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately. So, be crazy to think, too, what he would still be doing today. Like, if he was, you know, all of him or, you know, Kurt Cobain and everything. All these
right.
people that are, you know, gone too early. So, it'd be, I would like to hear some of that. See what other stuff he would come up with.
Jim Morrison predicted, you know, dubstep
oh,
back
yeah.
in the 60s. He goes, you know, someday it'll just be a man and a computer.
All right.
You know, and this was, I mean, not long before he passed, but yeah, now here we are, you know, with dudes, just dudes and computers, you know?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, man, he, yeah, another one, man, I forgot, some of the stuff that Jim said and, like, just, kind of before his time, man. Like,
yeah.
You know, and, some, and even all that music the Doors put out, like, some pretty, pretty gnarly stuff. Kind of, you know, I don't know. It was a little, I felt it was a fit, but it also, you know, it was, like, kind of futuristic in a sense, you know.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
All the different noises and things they were mm-hmm. pulling out of those, the synthesizers and all that stuff like that, and they were doing, and a lot of crazy sounds.
I mean, they were very, very musically smart.
Right.
You know, Jim was the dummy out of all of them. You know, all the other guys don't really get as much credit, I think, as they deserve. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, they were very beautifully musically minded mm-hmm. individuals.
You ever watch Jimmy Fallon at all?
Mm-hmm.
He did for his record. He covered.
The Reading Rainbow.
Yeah, Reading Rainbow yeah. as the Doors and as
Butterfly in the sky.
Yeah. It was man, it was great. But like, I thought it was really cool when he did that. Was that he took the attention to detail, mm-hmm. and I can apparently actually like hire a like Doors tribute band who mm-hmm. actually had all the proper yep. Instruments to pull it off, and mm-hmm. like and had them cut the song and stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Did, have you ever seen the live video of them doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He, I mean,
where he's like all dressed up and
right. Yeah, that's a damn good impression.
Yeah.
Let alone the voice, but he also you know mimics the moves and everything else. And yeah, the whole record actually is really, really good for being a comedian. Like he's actually quite musically talented.
What him doing Neil Young as like oh, you know, yeah. or yeah Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah. 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 He does. Does Neil impression and Bob Dylan and
oh yeah Charles in Charge
yeah.
Bruce
Springsteen I think he did Whip Your Hair back and forth mm-hmm. So
yep
so yeah that was some pretty good stuff on there.
I heard him talking about you know like since he does Bob Dylan and Neil Young like he was studying how they played harmonica you know and he goes Neil is very melodic and everything and then he was like when I do Bob Dylan I just find the highest note and blow it as hard as I possibly can for a really long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. Hey, those guys, greats, man. Like, I don't know. It's crazy to think, too, like, all the words, all that stuff that they wrote, man. Like, and how long that's the still living on. And, like, I don't know. It's just something really, really crazy. Really powerful stuff that they... They write these lyrics and still being celebrated
yeah.
like 60 years later or whatever, and you know, 50 years or whatever it has been.
I can't remember who Bob Dylan was living with from the Grateful Dead, but somebody from the Grateful Dead he was living with, but they had a typewriter in the living room right by the door. And so whenever they would leave, everybody would like, you know, when you left, you would write a line on the typewriter. And then when you came back, you would write another line. But they would all just interchange, and so it would just be this huge collection of things. You know, you would, like, try to go off what the last person said, or if you just had a brand new idea.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of that, just that a big group collaborative, you know, was, like, done for lyrics as well.
Huh. Kind of a Mad Libs kind of thing
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, exactly, right. Exactly.
Huh.
That's but pretty... with a bunch of talented musicians on drugs.
Yeah. You know? Right. Yeah, you. So when did you end up writing your first song? When you're saying you started playing around 15 or so? And...
I wrote and recorded my first song. I think when I was 18,
yeah.
for a girl for Valentine's Day.
Hey-o.
But luckily, I don't think any copy of that exists anymore. Right. You know, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
But you know, I didn't start writing. My own songs until I moved to Texas, really. And I had one other friend down there that I played music with, and so, like, he kind of helped me to, like, figure out what I was doing and kind of helped push me in good directions. And, yeah, we just sat down there and recorded.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You, I mean,
so I would have already been 21. Yeah, 21.
But I mean, since then, man, like now, like all these this Brother Lee stuff that I've been hearing, like some great songs, great lyrics, man. And I know you write most of that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you compose it with Danny and Sean and
yeah, like usually how it happens is I'll just come up with a general idea, you know, and sometimes I'll finish all the lyrics and then like Danny and Sean and I. And Zach will all like, you know, structurize the song and fill in the blanks, and like, you know, we'll all come up with like a different section and stuff like that. And but yeah, it's definitely a group collaborative musically, but lyrically is all me.
Yeah, well, you I talk about it a lot, but like how that there was a night where we were hanging out, and I think it was like Carter Halsey house show and then it turned into like the after party.
Mm-hmm.
We're hanging out in the living room and you pick up the guitar and you start playing and I believe it was Xanax and Cigarettes, right?
Indeed.
Which I was like blown away by, man, like because I love the song, I love the recording.
Mm-hmm.
But I never heard you do it acoustic.
And it's that's my favorite way of doing it, and that's actually like that's how I wrote it. And that's why there's so many lyrics in it, you know, because I played it halftime and a lot slower, and then whenever like brought it to the band and we ended up doing it real fast, I just became a rapper at that point, you know. Tried and I've been tested and I just got out of rehab in Texas and I'm going there every year. Can't keep my nostrils clear. Hop in the back of a black Cadillac to go see a man to put drugs in my hand. Drugs have taught me all I know. Never thought they'd devour my soul. It's Xanax and cigarettes get me through. And I've been drinking whiskey and doing your cocaine too. I'm no judge or jury, but you're doing me wrong. Said Xanax and cigarettes, help me write this song. Let the da-da-da-dum. Well, I'm the spike if you are the vein, and I'll drive you so close, making you insane. I'll make you scream my name and realize you'll never be the same. Idle hands lead to the devil's work, and the devil's work better never make you squirm. Gonna take you out on the town, keep so high, you're never coming down. It's Xanax and cigarettes, get me through. And I've been drinking whiskey and doing your cocaine too. I'm no judge or jury, but you're doing me wrong. Says Xanax and cigarettes, help me write this song. Let the da-da-dum, let the da-da-dum, let the da-da-dum, da-da-da-da-da-dum. I've been tried and I've been tested, and you be wise just to heed my message. I'm never gonna get clean, hitting this party at full steam. Yeah, the doctor said I smoke too much. Doctor said, yeah, I drink too much. But I'm never gonna change my ways, and I'll be this way till my grave. Is Xanax and cigarettes gets me through. And I've been drinking whiskey and doing cocaine too. I'm no judge or jury.
said Xanax and cigarettes helped me write this song. Oh, Earth Angel, would you be mine? My darling dear, love you all the time. I'm just a fool in love with Xanax and cigarettes that get me through.
They, but I think that's what I'm, one of my favorite parts of hearing acoustic music and is the fact that you can kind of focus in on those lyrics and like, you know, sometimes they can kind of get lost in the shuffle of, you know, all the rest of the music and stuff. So it allows you to kind of really just focus on what your message is in this song.
Yeah.
And stuff, so.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like you said, you hear the song 100 times and then you hear it in a different format, you go, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So, is that a lot of them written like that? Just,
A lot of Boredom, Leaves the Bottle was written on acoustic and then electrified and turned up, yeah.
I've also said one time on the show kind of how cool I think that would be, too, if you guys did do an acoustic show. Like, I know that, like, I talked about how cool that night was, but like, to hear you guys, if you guys were to do like a full band acoustic thing, just because everybody's seen you now playing full on rock shows,
getting eardrums blown out. Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool to see the opposite of it, to see you guys doing a stripped down thing, seeing Danny on a cajon or something, and like, you know, just, I think it would be fun.
It would be a great time.
Yeah.
I mean, we do it sometimes at, you know, Sean's house for ourselves, yeah. You know, but
right.
Yeah, bring it out in public, sir.
Sure.
Well, the whiskey was half empty, now there's not a single drip. I pulled myself up by the bootstraps, trying to find a simple fix. But if the fix strikes back, Jack just toss my body back on the stack. I rode the train from South Chicago and lit another cigarette. And now I'm back in old St. Louis trying to find a simple fix. But if the fix strikes back, Jack just toss my body back on the stack. I got the Murder City Special, give me a fix. Got the Murder City Special, it'll do the trick. Got the Murder City Special, don't be afraid to do the same. It gets me ripped out of my frame. And now I'm back in old St. Louis and dug myself back in a pit. And now I'm sitting on a bar stool, trying to find that simple fix. But if the fix strikes back, Jack, just toss my body back on the stack. I got the Murder City Special, give me a fix. Got the Murder City Special, it'll do the trick. Got the Murder City Special, don't be afraid to do the same. Gets me ripped out of my frame.
Yeah, maybe one of these days, maybe we make that happen. Because I was talking about two the other night with a group of guys, and they were doing this acoustic benefit show, and but that's kind of what we're kind of talking about, those like MTV Unplugged sets and all that stuff,
yeah.
Like, and how cool some of that stuff was. And like, again, that Alice in Chains set they did, like, that's still one of my all-time favorite, you know, collections, is seeing those guys do that Unplugged and everything. So I really just a sucker for a good acoustic stuff, so.
Totally. I've been listening to their Nirvana one quite a bit recently, and it's like I just started doing a cover of Where Did You Sleep Last Night.
All right.
But I was listening to the Wanda Davis version, and then I just decided to listen to Nirvana's Unplugged, and then realized that, you know, Kurt and them do a cover of that as well, and I was just like, okay, cool, yeah. Kick ass. You know, I could try this then. Made it more approachable, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna definitely give this a try.
Right. Is that for the your solo stuff?
Yeah, for just joshing around.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Well, you can come out and see Josh, what you said, every second Friday at the Gramophone.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm a big fan of that place, Delicious Sandwiches. Actually, I believe that's where this episode was booked at. We bumped into each other at Gramophone that night, and I said, mm-hmm. Hey, man, we should do this, and now here we are.
That is also my place of employment,
yeah.
As well. Yeah, so if you want to come by, and I'll make you a delicious sandwich.
Yeah, man. Yeah. They I think I got the Murph the last time I was there, and it was everything I ever imagined it would be.
Fried onions and Cool Ranch Doritos yeah. And bacon. Yeah, it's hard to go wrong.
Yeah, man. It's delicious.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, every second Friday at Gramophone. And you can also be seen playing some guitar with Sister Wizard around town.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know her, you should definitely go check her out.
Yes.
She's doing some wonderful things in the neighborhood. Great songs. And hopefully, I think she wrote something the other day. Like, she's got, like, 20-something songs or whatever. She's
yeah.
Like, she needs to cut a record now, so hopefully that'll be happening soon.
We went and recorded a little bit at EI with her. Right. She has a friend who is a... he's not the dean, but he's one of the higher-up engineers and coordinators of it, but he really likes Madison's music, and he'd been to a show, and he basically wanted to record her, or record all of us, so that way he could use it in class. You know, it'd help teach kids how to mix things and all that. So there's recordings out there somewhere floating around. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like I said.
Gotta hack into the mainframe and
right, <yeah. laughs>
get him out of there.
Yeah. Hopefully we, like I said, hopefully we get some record out soon, and it'll be fun to hear. Over the summer, we talked about also with Sean was you guys put on the Jackal Fest
mm-hmm.
again, the second annual now, another great party. And you guys, yeah, I mean, you guys bring out almost 20?
It was, I think, 28 bands.
28 bands?
28, yeah.
So, I mean, like, that's crazy. You know, it's a massive festival, taking over the Bootleg and Atomic mm-hmm. Cowboy and everything. Had a great time again.
I think we had 21 bands last year, so we managed to squeeze in more bands in less time as well. We shortened it up this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think last year it started at 11 and didn't end till 3.
Yeah. All right.
You know, and this year it started at noon and ended at 1:30. But yeah, we managed to squeeze more bands in, and we had out-of-town bands this year, which was great, you know, to get some exposure to the St. Louis scene, to those people, and it went incredibly smooth. Like, everybody that helped, all the bands, you know, everybody was very time conscious and respectful, and I mean, it was good vibes all around.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Do you have maybe even somebody that wasn't included in Jackal Fest, somebody that you've been really keeping an eye on that you were very excited about?
Oh, yeah. Pono AM couldn't play because some of them were on the road.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're huge fans of them. And
yeah.
Just want to... And the Langoliers and Buck Otobi, because they're all the members are shared, you
right.
know? And so it's like if one can't play, then neither of the other ones can play either.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're big fans of all three of those. And
yeah, I
so
agree.
We're bummed that they couldn't be a part this year.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I've had Buck Otobi actually on the show, but I've had Langoliers but like I say, a lot of those guys and Pono AM, a lot of them share members, so
mm-hmm.
it's kind of cool that what they're doing too. Like I said, they're all Great guys also.
Yeah, Buck Ohtobe's wild. Yeah. You know, they're very, very energetic. And but we're going to play with them on Thursday with our Sister Wizard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. At the Ready Room.
Yeah. Very cool, man. Yeah, so keep an eye out for next summer. Hopefully we'll be doing it again, doing another third annual Jackal Fest.
Yeah.
I'm sure the bootleg and Tom the Cowboy will be happy to welcome you guys back. This always seems to be a great day.
Nobody got kicked out this year too for being too drunk, so that was a good thing.
Sure. That was good. I'd talking about my friends host a party up in Troy, Missouri at the Ink Spot Block Party and that's what they were talking about too. Like it was they don't have to have a lot of police or security or anything because people are just respectful and like come out and have a good time.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's usually the worst is when you have to throw somebody out because they got too drunk or whatever. There's no fighting. There's no, you know, it's just like, it's nice that you can throw a nice festival where people can all get along and just have a good time. And
yeah. And it was kind of, you know, self-policed.
Right.
You know, everybody kind of looked out for everybody else. And if you saw somebody on some bad,
sure,
bad things, you know, you can go, hey, you can cut that out.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, you see some of these festivals and it gets a little crazy and people getting thrown out and everything else. But yeah, you know, like I said, you're doing I think it's all, again, it's just respect in the community and stuff, and people are there to just have a good time.
Yeah. That's the whole point.
Yeah, man.
That's the whole point.
So, I think that's cool, man. And I think again, I think it really just echoes what you guys are about and the whole, like, everybody that's on that show. Like, we're all, it's a big family, man. It's not, you know, so it's just fun to be a part of this whole thing with everybody.
And that's where I was like, again, we were excited to bring in out-of-town bands to kind of show them that side of it as well, because, you know, we get such a bad rap here for, you know, things getting stolen and broken into, and, you know, it was nice to be able to portray it in a different light, you know.
Yeah.
And
we brought in a Sweet Talker from Nashville.
And we're going to go, we're still trying to find the venue to play with him, but on Friday the 13th, we'll be playing with him, and then going down to Nashville with him for a couple days later in October as well.
Nice. Yeah. Hitting the road then, huh?
And that's, you know, we're currently trying to get a van. Right now as well, we've been scouring the internet, and, you know, but that was kind of something I wanted to say, too, that was related to Jackal Fest. Like, all the proceeds that we made after, you know, after paying everybody and taking care of what needed to be taken care of, all of that money is going towards the van. So it's, you know, if you bought a ticket for Jackal Fest, you're helping us with transportation. You know, it wasn't just divided up and blown on frivolous things, you know. Yeah. It's going to further the cause.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I would love to see you guys get on the road. And as much, I mean, I don't know, it's kind of like it's kind of a catch-22 kind of thing, you know. It's like, as much as like, it's, you know, it's like you get excited because you get your favorite band and you can get see them all the time, and then all of a sudden, like, you don't, you know, you kind of get a little selfish. You don't want to really share it with anybody, but then it's like, but you also kind of want, you want the best for them. I want you guys out there on the road and want people to hear your music. But then as I've seen it a lot where, then the next time they come to town, they're playing, you know, an arena or whatever it is, and it's like, man, it's like, you know, it's just kind of it's a bummer because you don't get that small intimate shows anymore and stuff like that. But
you don't get to feel the sweat being flung off them.
So. But no, I hopefully, like I said, hopefully you guys can get on the road and expand this fan base all over the country.
Yeah, I mean, we're all road warriors.
Yeah.
You know, we can surprisingly, you know, sit in a van for 12, 13 hours without killing each other, you know?
Yeah. Who runs the DJ, and so you guys all take turns, or
we all take turns. Yeah. And it, that's a great way to get to know your friends as well, you know, is finding out those, you know, those deep cuts when you're trapped in a car with them.
Yeah.
But we listen to a lot of like stand-up and stuff too. You know, different comedians. Like Sean and I are both big stand up guys, and so you know we always share and whatnot. But yeah, being in the car, it's nice because you know it helps the miles and the time kind of pass by because your mind is occupied. And you know, like when you're listening to a song, sometimes you know it takes you to that whole other weird place. And but you know, if you're just laughing for hundreds of miles, you know, it's good for you.
Sure, man. I listen to a lot of comedy at work. Mm-hmm. Not as much as today, but like I would listen to a lot of my headphones and nobody else could hear it, but all of a sudden like I would just be
just
cracking up
laughing.
And then everybody was like, if you're just getting people looking at you like, what is going on with that guy? And like, you know, so but no, I'm a big fan of comedy myself. Who are some of the guys you like listening to?
One of the newer ones, I just got into Doug Stanhope.
Yeah.
And then but like I really like dad comedians too, like Chad Smith and Chad Daniels.
Yeah,
Chad Daniels.
Friend of the show. He's been on.
No kidding.
Yep. We came buddies, just following him around the funny bone and stuff, but he came through town and I messaged him. I was like, hey man, can we do this? And we recorded and over at the Backstreet Blues and Jazz bar next door to the Funny Bone. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a good thing.
Then good guy.
Oh yeah, great guy. But yeah, I love his dad material. Like you're saying, one of my favorites. He does. He talks about baby's feet are only this big. Yet they can crush all your dreams or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So. But he's another one that makes me laugh every time is he says talked about taking his son now he's older and he took him to the movies and he got a soda and he's like kid, can we get two straws? And he's like, why? He's like, because your saliva.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can't have a problem with my bodily fluid when you used to be
one. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah. So he's one of the best, man. So yeah, if you don't know Chad Daniels, check that out.
Like how he delegates questions with his kids, like press conference.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's great, man. He's we had a fun time hanging out and talking, and he's one of those guys though. Like he's talking about being on the road. Like that's what he does. He doesn't have the big Netflix specials. Doesn't have the big whatever. He's just kind of been grinding, trying to make it on the road, and he does well for himself, but yeah, he's just not that big household name that a lot of these guys are. And
yeah,
so
I really like Tom Segura as well, and a couple years ago, it was before I worked at Layla, I was just there hanging out, and he had just got done playing the Ready Room and comes walking in, sits down at the bar, and I got all jittery and fluttery, and had to like go to the bathroom for a minute, like, that's Tom Segura sitting down there at the other bar, and but I waited till he was getting ready to leave and everything, and he said, walked up and said, hey man, I'm very, very big fan, and if you want to get stoned, let me know. And then I ran away. Yeah. didn't take me up on it, but he was very appreciative.
Yeah. I went to see Jay Larson and Ryan Sickler at the at Blueberry Hill in the Duck Room.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're actually two guys. I told them, when I met them, but they pretty much influenced me doing this show. So they're a real big part of, why I do this. So because they also have a podcast called The Crab Beast, and I started listening. They're from Ryan's from Boston, sorry, Jay's from Boston. Ryan's from Pennsylvania or somewhere, Pittsburgh area or something like that. Anyway, but they used to have crab feasts, and it was like the whole thing. They would have these crab cookouts, and it was a hangout for them and stuff.
Yeah.
So that was kind of where the inspiration for their show. And I started listening to a lot of their show. And that's what kind of inspired me to, like, hey, I want to, these guys always sound like they're having a great time.
Yeah.
It's like, I like to do something like that, so...
I like to have a good time.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I want to do this.
But it was cool to kind of meet them and then tell them, hey, man, I've already recorded 300 episodes of my show and stuff and all that. And so they were, it was a neat moment to share with them. But thinking about that, though, like, I think there was a couple of guys that, like yourself, that... took upon themselves to offer some of their services after the show with Ryan. Yeah. So they
you never know when it might land.
Right. Yeah, right. So it was just if that's your thing, I think that'd be pretty cool to get to smoke with one of your one of your favorites and stuff.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of like everybody wants to smoke with Willie, and let alone he's a great player, but like everybody just wants to smoke with the guy and stuff. So,
and then you realize that he'll smoke you under the table, and he'll be like, "Okay, well, I'll see you later," and just be completely normal.
Yep.
I got to get drunk with Wolf Mother one time.
All right.
Yeah, on top of the Moonrise.
Nice.
Yeah, they came into Blueberry. They stayed for like 4 days, and they've been one of my favorite bands since I was. I think I was 16 when that first album came out.
Yeah, they kick ass, man.
Yeah, and but they came in and sat in my section while I was serving and everything, and again, I just, I freaked out and ran to the back, took some deep breaths, but, I was as cool and as professional as I could try to be, and at the end, I was like, my name's Josh. If you need anything, let me know. By the way, huge fan. Let me know if you need anything. And walked away, and then one of my coworkers, God bless them, came out, and he's just like, "Look, your server's being way too polite right now. He loves you guys. Can you take a picture with him?" They're from New Zealand. Right. Are they New Zealand or Australian? I don't know.
Something like that.
They're very polite young men, for as big of monsters as they, push their sound out, but they're very, very nice dudes, and they ended up getting me and Sean Whitney on the guest list for their show that night, and and then they stuck around for 4 days and came into Blueberry, and I just kept running into them and got drunk with them on top of the Moonrise. But unfortunately, I got so drunk with them that we blacked out, and I don't remember how the rest of it went.
Yeah,
but I got blackout drunk with Wolf Mother.
So. Yeah, that's save that one for the autobiography.
Yeah, it was
very cool, man. Well, we'll wrap this thing up. I appreciate you hanging out, Josh. I mean, it's been a great time.
Appreciate you, coming to hang out as well.
Yeah, this is so you can again see Josh every second Friday at Gramophone doing a solo thing. Keep an eye out for some brotherly dates coming soon. Follow along on Facebook and Instagram
and we're also writing new music again as well. So we're gonna probably push out another album here soon, so stay tuned.
Yeah, I think that was another one of the fan questions. Was Tony was asking if you guys would write a record longer than 7 songs. So,
I think this one might actually break that tradition.
Yeah. He said I wanted to make sure I quote it right, Tony. 7 songs, more than 7 songs at one time, so that way when I use their music as house music, the crowd doesn't have to hear the same song twice.
Well, Tony, know that we have multiple albums as
right.
well.
Yeah.
So.
Come on, Tony. Get your stuff together.
One of the new songs is answers the question of the band, who the fuck is Brother Lee?
Oh, all right.
So the world will finally know.
Yeah.
gonna unveil.
All right. Yeah. That'd be cool, man. I'm excited about that. While we're also talking about fan questions, Andy May Rover writes in, what brand shampoo does he use? Asking for a friend.
The Shop and Save version of dish soap. And Shane, if you want to go in my bathtub right now and look, you can attest that that is the truth.
Yeah, man.
It's mostly out of being poor and a necessity. you know, yeah. multi-use.
Yeah, there you go. Tony also wanted to ask about your tattoo on your forearm, your spider there.
That was done by Andy May.
Yeah.
Yep, for Tower's anniversary. And, yeah, it was my first tattoo by Andy, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. We got nice and, how do I put it, we were feeling very good. Yeah. Right before we did it, and so it was a great time.
All right, what do you got? Also, Pac-Man here.
I have a Mr. and Mrs. Pac-Man for my mom and dad, and then got these are all Friday the 13th tattoos, and nice. I got a nice little collection there. And,
yeah. One of these days, I'll probably break down and get some ink, but haven't done it yet. So.
Been doing stick and pokes as well. Got Helter Skelter across my left leg, and a piece of pizza and and my address on my right leg.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And got that one as well. Stick and poke.
If lost, please return to.
Yep, pretty much. Yeah. If you find me, just take me back here.
Yeah. You one more question, Adam. Donald of Cara Louise Band writes in, how does he keep his one hitter so clean?
Well, Adam should know, because we use my one hitter pretty often. So. I think just about every time we hang out, so he knows the secret. Right. He's just being funny.
Yeah. He's a goofy guy. I really like that guy. He's an incredible player too. It's a lot of fun watching him play that.
I really got to know him last year playing at Undercover Weekend with the Daisy Ad. You know, like we did Bob Dylan, and he played slide and I played bass, and that was my first. You know, we had interacted a lot like at shows and whatnot, but that was our first time like one-on-one time too, and like yeah, really got to know him a lot better, and it's awesome playing with him.
Yeah. You know. Yep. Well, get involved. Like we've mentioned, a lot of our friends. They're all doing cool stuff around the town, so
yeah,
get involved with St. Louis music. There's all kinds of good stuff happening, and keep an eye out, Brother Lee coming to a town near you.
Beware of Brother Lee.
Yeah. All right, thank you, sir.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate this, man.
No problem.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.